Hello everyone, welcome to the talk about database performance at GitLab.com. I will present this talk with Nikolai. So let's go for the introductions. My name is Jose Corisfinoto. I work in GitLab with the infrastructure team. I'm part of the team since September of 2018. And my background is in large organizations working with infrastructure specialized in databases. Performance, HA, etc. Nick, could you please present yourself?
All right. Thank you, Jose. My name is Nick, and I work with databases all my professional life, and I have database-related education. And I started with many years ago. I started with commercial databases, but fortunately, quickly switched to open-source database system Postgres. And no regrets since then. I also was briefly a hacker, and I participated in the development of XML data type and functions. Also, I have a lot of various community activities, including Russian-speaking Postgres user group. And recently we launched Postgres TV in English. It's a YouTube bi-weekly show. And also I participate in various conferences as a program committee member. A few years ago, I migrated to the US and relaunched my consulting practice, helping companies scale Postgres, improve performance.
Thanks, Nikolai. I would like to introduce now the agenda for our talk today. We'll talk a bit about GitLab, the company numbers and values from the company, architecture that we have there and challenges that we are facing, some performance analysis that we are having, that we are executing constantly lately, and some tools that are helping us in our day-to-day developed by Postgres AI, Postgres Checkup, JoeBot, and Database Lab. Okay. First of all, what is GitLab? GitLab is a complete lifecycle tool for the DevOps that helps us to develop better softwares. So, GitLab has some special values from the company that I think is one of the main reasons that I joined them, is like, what are the values of the company? Starting for collaboration. We work asynchronously remotely. We do not have offices all around the globe, but we keep cooperating with our colleagues using our tools and our methodology, basically iterating for by issues or change requests or merge requests. Second, the results. In GitLab, we don't track hours, we track outcomes. Efficiency. We look always through for solutions that are straightforward. We don't want to reinvent the wheel, or we're not looking for the most sophisticated solution. We want simple solutions. Diversity. We are based in 67 countries, so we have people from different countries with different ideas that always supports for us different solutions, adding value to us. Iteration. In GitLab, we always like to work with the minimum viable changes. We don't want to create a big project and then try to integrate it. We prefer to do integration step by step. And the last value is transparency. Our company is 100% transparent. We have all our issues public, and our roadmap, our strategy, and even when we have an outage, we have an incident, an issue, we have an issue that represented the incidents, and we explain everything that happened, what are the measurements to fix, what are the plans for the future to, as a corrective action to this don't happen again. I think it's really interesting. So now we'll talk a bit about the open source project. We have two versions of GitLab. One is the enterprise edition and the other is the community edition. In this case, here is the community edition. That is open source project that has used for more than 100,000 organizations, and we have more than 3,000 code contributors. Some interesting fact here is like we release every day 22 of the month a new release with the new features. Talking a bit about the enterprise edition and about how the company works. So we support the life cycle of the DevOps development completely, and we are more than 1,297 employees. located in 67 countries and having more than 30 million of registered users. Inside of this, we have like some users that are the GitLab.com, that's the part that we are working, and the other part are the users that has the self-managed version that can be the enterprise or the customer or the community edition, sorry. Something interesting about GitLab is when the project started 2011, in 2015 was like getting some awards regarding the fastest company, growing company. And we have the handbook, that's something really interesting to mention, that is our guidelines of how we work. In the handbook, we have like how the teams, they work, what are our goals, and the methodology, and roadmaps, etc. And it's pretty flexible inside of GitLab that all of us can participate on it. Like this is the mission of GitLab, that everyone can contribute. So inside of our teams and inside of our organizations, we can always open an MR to give a suggestion about how the things are being done or something that we think that could improve. And then we have like a chat or a discussion there, trying to always get the best outcome of it. And okay, this is what I want to say about the company. Now I would like to talk about the features. As you can see, we cover a lot of the full DevOps concept itself. We use internally a lot of the tool. We have a principle of dog fooding. With this, I can say that we use constantly CI/CD pipelines. For example, our backups are executing CI/CD pipelines every day to restore it and test it. It's one of the good example. Then we have new features that I would like to mention here, the monitoring. And we have runbooks as well. We can do iterations saying to the runbook when we have an alert to trigger or say how will be the process that our SRE should follow and so on. Besides, we have all the part of security in the protect area that you see here. Okay, if we look for the matrix of development of features, we see that every year we are developing more features. As you can see here, in the last years we are growing and every year producing more and more features. Okay, now let's talk about what is GitLab.com. We manage this version, this hosted version, and it's a software as a services online .com. So you can see that we have over 40 million of Git pools operations. We have more than 6,000 Git requests per second. And we have a lovely database there. That's what we take care. That's a PostgreSQL version 11.6. It's a cluster of 8 nodes, 1 primary and 7 secondaries. The primary has around 60 to 80K thousand transactions per second in the peak times. The read-ons are around 20 to 30 in general. And with that, like what I was going to say is like the architecture. The hardware architecture we have here in GCP, have N1 machines with 96 cores and 624 gigabytes of memory. Okay, I think this is, we use PG Bouncer and we use Patronia. We'll explain this in the architecture in the following diagrams. So basically what we have here, we have Postgres. In front of Postgres, in case of the read-only nodes, we have PG Bouncers. As you can see for the read-write, we have two clusters of PG Bouncer, one for the asynchronous traffic and one for the synchronous traffic. Let me explain this a bit more. The synchronous traffic is the traffic that comes from web API. The other application that is asynchronous is what everything that comes from sidekicks that are jobs in general. So the pools are different configured for a better and optimized performance. From the other side, and this over to redirect the traffic, we are using console names. We have two console names for the read-write traffic, as you can see here, one for asynchronous and the other for the synchronous. And a different endpoint for this, that is the read-only traffic. The read-only traffic is redirected to all the nodes that are in the state of being read-only, secondaries. So Patroni that we're using here is who controls who is the primary, and in case of an incident or a problem, he will do the failover or will remove from the cluster any of the read-only that are not operating properly. Console is a template for high availability in Postgres. And in our case, we're implementing this using Patroni is a high availability template that uses, in our case, Consult as a DCS. who has distributed consensus storage where we can keep the information of the status of the cluster the whole time. And here is how we have the diagram of this. Okay, now we will talk about one problem that we are facing, or things that we have faced sometimes, is like when we have like a big degradation in performance, or we start to see something suspicious. For example, here, we see this is from the primary, but in some moments of the day, we are getting spikes of CPU utilization that are reaching over 85%. We want to investigate this and understand what is happening there and see what are the root causes. We know that we have like constant deliveries and new releases, and the scenario is always changing. Since we have so many customers in one database, since it is a monolith, we need to understand perfectly the functionality of every one of the components to optimize it and keep expanding. So expanding our capacity to resolve all the queries and statements that we are having at the moment. What we do here? We check the time, where is the spike that we found out. Great. Now I need to explain a couple of things more. In GitLab, we use one station from extension from Postgres, pgstat statements, that basically collects data of all the statements, of the 5,000 statements most executed in the database. Besides this, we send this data by Postgres exporter to Prometheus, that additionally aggregates this in Thanos. And then we do an analysis in Thanos directly, or Prometheus, that will be the following. We check the following two concepts in stat statements. First, here I'm checking for the total time that the queries are taking to be resolved. So we are listing the 10 statements that are taking more time to be resolved. Here's the query. Here's the link that you have for Thanos to see the query itself that I will share in the next screen. That is the following. As you can see, during that spike of production, you could see that some statements are taking more time to resolve. And you see that before and after, the load was different, was more standard, was smooth. So we need to understand what's going on or why we have these calls here. Great. What do we do here? We check the next screen or the next option here that is in the console to see what are the query IDs. So I'm saying that this, as you can see, is what demanded more time during this peak. And here I have the query IDs. Having the query IDs, what I will do, I will go back to pstat statements and check which are the queries. Here we list all the statements that are being executed. And then we have a great tool to talk with our developers